From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a free-for-all edition of the Midnight Movie Cowboys. We had some scheduling conflicts. The show we had prepared for y'all this week will not be happening, but we never fear. We're here. We're doing a show. Will it have a topic? We'll see. I am your faithful host, Hunter Deucing, and I am joined by Mr. Stuart Balk down in Australia. Say hello, Stu.
Hi, Stu.
And joining us as well is Mr. John Grace in Colorado, the close personal friend of James Elroy. Say hello, John.
What up, dogs?
I got to say, John, that dinner you had the other night with James Elroy. I wish you had got it videoed. Just you and him, because he could think he had a thing called My Dinner with Elroy.
That might happen in the future. Yeah. I'd eventually like to get him on the podcast in some way.
It would be
in
John,
the future.
John and John.
What the hell? The internet? I've never heard of it.
Exactly. He always acts like, you know, he never uses a cell phone or the internet or any of that. He says he could operate a CD player and that's enough for him.
Does he still use a typewriter when he writes?
No, I think he uses a word processor.
Oh, I see.
I couldn't imagine anybody using a typewriter these
Tarantino
days.
Tarantino does. I think he said, Tarantino.
Well, he
still does.
Oh
no! Yeah, I went, so does Joe Esterhaus
and Harlan Ellison. So I think he said something like he sent his latest manuscript to his publisher, his next big novel, but he kind of implied he emailed it. So maybe he has very limited internet. I mean, he said that what it is. He goes, he likes the speed of life the way it is. He doesn't need it to be any faster and.
Because if it does, he'll hang himself like that guy in Shawshank Redemption when he gets out of prison.
He's 68 years old. I mean, he's just, and he broke in when you did use a typewriter and, had your typed up manuscript. So
my dad's nearly 70. He uses the bloody computer. Yeah, uses his iPad.
But there's certain things with these writers is they're very, what got them there is what they stick with, that sort of thing. Like, Harlan Ellison supposedly uses a manual typewriter, not even an electric one. So, which would explain his very low output in recent years.
Yeah, so those ribbons are a bitch to find these days, aren't they?
Yeah, word processors would probably be a lot easier, and he could have actually put out the last Dangerous Visions. So,
if he's so obsessed with the typewriter font, does anybody tell him there's actually a typewriter font you can use on your computer?
Ellison started posting on his website forum, and the website, as I think I said on the Ellison show, looks like it's from 1995
with HTML
1.0
dancing hamsters with like the top hats and Fred Astaire.
Those cheap as shit gifts. Yeah,
but he does post on there occasionally, and so obviously he is using a computer now. Just not boasting about it. Elroy doesn't have any interest. Like, one of the other guys at the dinner asked, he goes, hey, do you guys go on the James Elroy forum on Facebook? And I went, no, I can't go on there. And Elroy's like, don't go on there. Because the guy was saying, yeah, they're all talking shit about James. I said, see, I couldn't do it because I'd just be fighting with people. I said, don't be talking about my friend James. So it's like, once you're friends with somebody like that, you can't go on those forums in tribute, because then you take everything personal.
So did you manage to pull James Elroy aside for a minute and get a bumper for the show? No.
No, I got to get a portable podcast.
Come on, thing.
This is James Elroy. What's a podcast?
Yeah, he doesn't know. I don't think he knows.
No, you should get him to say that.
Like, this is this is the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hi, I'm James Elroy. What's a podcast?
Yeah,
what the hell is a podcast?
I'm gonna get him to sign my book. Like, what the hell's a podcast or something? You know, some saying. Usually he draws a cartoon hound with like a big dick when he signs books. I mean, if you know his shtick from his signings, then you know exactly what you're going to get.
So where's
he? He did a promo. He did do a promo for Funny or Die, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did. It's on YouTube, and he goes through his mantra that he's the white knight of the right, you know, all that stuff.
Hi, I'm James Elroy, and you're reading Breitbart.com.
No, he sounds healthier than that. But,
okay. Well, you know, I'm caricaturing.
He's a pretty healthy dude.
Yeah,
he sure said he says he does like the elliptical an hour a day. So, yeah, he keeps at it.
Oh, did you guys see that Clint Eastwood pissed off some people the other day?
Oh, yeah, he pissed off everybody for
a
couple of days.
It's the pussy generation.
Not me,
you
didn't.
Bunch of pussies.
I was like, there's the Clint we know.
I was like, there's the Clint I love, the one who pissed, like when he talked to the empty chair, you know?
Yeah, I love that Clint.
Yep.
Clint Eastwood's the man. Anybody who says Clint Eastwood isn't the man, if anybody says Clint Eastwood sucks, they suck. Fuck
exactly.
That. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's the most respected filmmaker in Hollywood.
Yeah, like he just got to a level where he can say stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It just sounds like a bunch of pussies to me. It's the puss generation.
I'm going to ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this. This is about Star Wars, just real quick, all right?
Oh, that's very
no,
really
no,
tough.
No, no, listen. Star Wars people know I've got this worldwide love for Star Wars, right, everywhere. But is it only loved by people who saw the original film in 77 as a between, say, a 5 and a 12-year-old?
No. Because all my students at school were all they would talk about when they came back from break from in the spring was Star Wars.
No, you're missing my point.
Oh,
I'm saying about the 77, the first Star Wars film, right?
The first one?
Yeah, so say to somebody who was 25 at the time in 77. So they're 25 years old and they went and watched Star Wars. Do they still have that crazy love for Star Wars all this time onwards? I never see anybody say in their 60s going on about Star Wars. It's always people who were, you know, about, like I said, between the ages of, say, 5 and 12 at the time of 1977.
Yeah. You got a point. I don't think so. I don't know of any old people who care anything about Star Wars.
Yeah, like I said, just people who were in their mid-20s, late-20s, oh, check this movie out. I never seem to see them anywhere. I've never seen anybody say in their early 60s, mid 60s, who are just crazy for Star Wars. I mean, I might be wrong. I'm most probably wrong. But
yeah.
I see a lot of pictures of stuff like, you know, cons and just people.
Honestly, I haven't. I think that for people in their 20s who saw it in 77, I think that thrill may have faded after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, probably.
Least.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Empire, I will say, is a good movie. I'll say Empire is a good movie.
Sure.
And that might have held their interest. But Return would be like, okay, I've outgrown this.
Yeah,
even
the biggest Star Wars fans I know said they were disappointed by Jedi.
Yeah.
No, they admit it's not good.
I was disappointed. I was like 11 at the time when it came out. 11 or 12,
yeah, I was bummed. I was like, that's it. You know, it's like, I thought it started off fun, but then all the stuff on the forest and the Ewoks and stuff, I just, you know.
Yeah, it was Teddy Bear Picnic.
Because it's hard to notice. Cole is a Jedi. Cole is a very good friend of ours, and Cole's, you know, Cole's about 50, very, very, very early 50s. And I remember him saying he was about, what was he about, 10 or something when he went and saw it, 10 or 11. So he falls in that age bracket that I'm talking about. You know,
between
5 and 12 year olds. But I thought I've never seen anybody older than say 60 who's still crazy for Star Wars to this day. Liked it back then?
I don't know.
Probably.
You know? My dad doesn't care about Star Wars. He's over 60.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my dad's like, who cares?
It's just, you know, I guess they were a little
a little old for it at the time. I don't know.
My mother despised it back then. So
really,
you know, my dad liked it, but I don't think he cared beyond Jedi. Because I remember him telling me he didn't care for Jedi. He was like, it's not that great. Like, he saw it before he took me to see it. He's like, it's no big deal. It's not very good.
Yeah, I think my dad suffered through Jedi when he took my brother and myself to see that grindhouse theater, that dollar theater, whatever it was. And I'm sure he just sat there thinking, uh-huh. Oh God, when's this gonna be over with?
But I mean, like Phantom Menace, I was trying to avoid, and then Laser Craze Boss actually paid me to take him to the burbs to see it. And then after we sat through it, we walk out, and he was like, Jesus Christ, I should have seen The Matrix again. And I said, did I miss the scene where the princess switched with the double? No, John, you were asleep because the movie was so boring. You missed it. So, you know, I was like, well, yeah, it's the only reason I saw it. And I think I saw Attack of the Clones on one of those days I was unemployed but had enough money to go to a matinee and kill time.
Yeah.
And I saw, I think the last one, I kind of just skimmed through on home video. It was never really into it.
The Revenge of the Sith? Or are you talking about the last yeah. one that came out?
Yeah, Revenge of the Sith. And then the newest one I saw twice in a theater because I went to see it once because I had a day with – I wanted to see a movie. I didn't want to see anything. I didn't want to see The Revenant just yet. And I just went to see Star Wars. I thought it was okay. And then took my son to see it about a week later. We had the family day out at the movies and went to see that.
Would he have got the concept of it or what?
He thought it was – he got it because he watched the first three on home video. I checked them out of the library for him. And he watched those, and then he thought it was okay. He understood it enough, but he wasn't like after it was over, Star Wars all the time.
Well, it's because they've seen that shit that's in that movie a million times.
Yeah, like you know, like kids back in '77. I remember visiting my cousins in California in '78, and I didn't know there was like this following for Star Wars. To me, it was just another movie because I was like five when I saw it, and. My cousins had these model kits and stuff. I go, why do you like Star Wars so much? I didn't get it. I didn't understand. Going crazy for a movie like that.
Yeah.
You know, I was into Godzilla. I was into Godzilla movies and Japanese science fiction and Mexican horror because that's what they showed on our UHF channels, you know, for a couple of years before I ever saw Star Wars. So, you know, I was into giant monsters and dinosaurs and stuff.
What's the Godzilla series? Is a Japanese? There was a DVD box set I saw for $10. Had five Godzilla films. Not Toho. It's, Shindo, I don't know.
The Godzilla movies, I think Australia might have different distribution packages on those.
No, it wasn't a company. It was they branded as a something that starts with S-H-I-I or O or something like that. Oh, I can't remember what they're called.
Shin Toho? For a while, Toho was going by the name Shin Toho, I think, on some labels.
No, it wasn't that. Toho was not in the name. I'd have to look it up. We'll just...
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on distribution deals. They don't have to put Toho on the label or anything. They just buy the rights. Because I remember for a while, Australia had the only widescreen English dub DVD of Godzilla versus Megalon, which in America had been public domain to death, and nobody wanted to release a legit version for years until Media Blasters did before they went out of business.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I just can't think of that. I saw it. I thought, $10, but I'm like, oh, I don't like Godzilla much. It's just
Also, you might be paying for old pan and scan prints that they.
No, they're all widescreen.
Oh, they're all widescreen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just yeah. Like I said, I
can't think of what it was. It's like, I wouldn't start. Like Godzilla is one of those things like professional wrestling. If you didn't like it when you were a little kid, you're probably not gonna like it as an adult.
So yeah,
I
agree.
You're just not gonna get it, and that's what I tell people. Like people ask me. Like when I was more into wrestling, like 20 years ago, watching when it was the Raw versus WCW Monday Night Wars, and it was really thrilling. And I would tell people, they'd just say, "What should I watch?" I went, "You're not going to get into it. Don't even bother. You didn't watch it when you were a kid. You know, don't even try."
And like, it's the same thing with Star Wars. You know, like if you didn't like it when you were a kid, like I'll meet people who go, "Oh, it's crazy," but I've never seen Star Wars, and I go, "You know what? Don't run because." You're not going to think of it the way people who revere it do.
Okay, I found it. It's a Godzilla Heisel series.
Okay. Is it the Heisei series?
Heisei. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's the Showa series and the Heisei series, and that's because there was the Showa Emperor of Japan.
Yeah.
Who was alive while those movies were made, and then when the Heisei series, which was kind of a reboot, that was when the Heisei Emperor was seated. So that's why they call it the Heisei series.
Okay, well, there's both. So it would have been the Showa.
Yeah,
series?
So it's the Heisei, the like kind of like 80s Godzilla movies.
Okay, yeah,
No, this was 60s. It had to be for sure.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I might be getting them mixed up.
I'm partial to the 60s stuff. So.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But that's another thing. It's like I can't say to somebody who's never seen them as an adult in who's middle age. Oh no, you got to see these. No. It's like if you didn't watch them when you were a kid, forget it. Don't
even
bother.
Yeah, I know I won't like them. But I thought $10, I can throw that sort of money.
I mean, if you think your kids would like it, you know, that's
the only people I know who've gotten into that stuff as adults are like really kind of late bloomer monster geeks, you know, which are kind of a rare breed.
Well, you're talking about a guy who can't watch creatures rising out of sea, so I don't think my chances are very good.
Oh, they all have that.
Oh, fuck that then. I'm watching that.
Go watch Godzilla versus the Sea Monster.
No. That's not happening.
What is that? Did you like get attacked by a sea monster in Australia? I mean, they have a lot of them.
No. It came from watching Clash of the Titans, the drive-in as a kid. It fucked me up big time. It did. When they said, you know, unleash the Kraken and release it, it fucked me up big time. That movie messed with my head more than anything else, I think.
When they said release the Kraken, did it remind you of taking a shit?
I don't know. I didn't get in my nappies or
diapers. I wasn't out of diapers until
I was
like 24.
Right. I don't know
what
it was.
Disappointed.
I was 24.
I just remember Clash of the Titans. I was just like, this is Harryhausen's last movie because I think he's just losing it. Because it's like, they built up the Kraken through the whole film, and then he was just so kind of plain looking. He looked like the god Porno from Flesh Gordon.
It messed me. Medusa in that film messed with my head. You know what messed with me
that
is
part,
just
was,
as
that
much?
Part was pretty badass.
Yeah, Medusa was a good effect. Awesome. That's like,
I'm not
that's
saying
the
it
last,
wasn't, but it was just way too scary for me as a 10-year-old. It just
I believe
ruined
it.
Me. And also, and this is going to sound really dumb. I'm sure it's going to elicit a few laughs. Seeing Burgess Meredith and that other woman, what's her name? Mary, Margaret, I can't remember. The woman who, as the gods, that freaked me out. It freaked me out. I can't watch it.
Maggie
Smith?
Maggie Thatcher,
yeah.
I think she was Cassiope or something. I
don't care.
I haven't seen it since like 1982 on cable or 83. When it was on cable all the time, so last time I watched it,
yeah. So that's where that came from. It freaked me the hell out, and
right?
Just, yeah, and which was a weird pairing with Partners, the John Hurt movie.
Wow, that is weird.
Yeah, oh, that was a double feature at the drive-in that night: Partners and Clash of the Titans.
Yeah,
I just remember John Hurt just sitting there thinking, I was in the Elephant Man a year before. What am I doing on this set? And Ryan O'Neill just off his head on cocaine in that film, wearing those tight pink, you know, t-shirts with a headband. I'm like, oh my god, this guy's off his nut.
I found out Ryan O'Neill almost made like a big like karate film in the 70s called Karate is a Thing of the Spirit, to be directed by Ken Russell.
Jesus.
And it was about like parking lot tournament fights and brawls or something. And it almost happened, and just, but it was kicking around. Ryan O'Neill is
basically
star.
The birth of MMA, is it?
It sounded like Lionheart, the Van Damme movie.
Oh, that!
But it was called Karate is a Thing of the Spirit, and it was going to be directed by Ken Russell. So, I mean, his son Toby ended up being a big shot in the Hong Kong Taiwanese film industry. But I thought that was interesting that Ryan O'Neill almost did a martial arts picture in the 70s. They were that hip.
Like, Barry Lyndon's a good movie, but if it had some martial arts, it would have been even better.
Oh, it probably would have rocked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. It's one of Richard Kelly's favorite movies.
Oh, okay. the unrecognizable Richard Kelly, okay.
Yeah, there was a 7 favorite movies list that's been going on around, which tells me a lot of people don't watch anything before Star Wars.
No, no.
It's really surprising how all new the films are. You know, they're like in the last, right from 75 and on.
Well, I was in a store, it was yesterday actually. I was out on the road and my son was just getting checked up after his operation a few months back. And I was out and he was with his mom and I went to this secondhand store. I thought, oh, I'll look around. I've got about an hour to kill while I'm waiting on them. And they had a section on there of DVDs which said oldies. And underneath it said in parentheses, pre-1971. Well, really? Right. Okay, that's strange. Because oldies to me is, you know, the film noir of the 40s and stuff in the 30s, not stuff pre-71. Yeah. So just, I thought it was weird. And
I think Golden Age Hollywood, which is 1940s, 1930s.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but not stuff like, Rio Bravo was in there, so, and what's that, 1960, 59 or something like that?
59, I believe.
Yeah.
58, 59, yeah.
Yeah. They had other stuff in there from 68, 69 in there as well. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It really isn't that old. Yeah, it's just strange, but,
Yeah, it's the phraseology. I always joke about how they were calling old-time radio in, like, 1964.
Hmm.
Like, it just a few years, it only probably shut down radio as a main entertainment thing maybe 10 years before, because they were still running radio programs in 1954, 55, like Have Gun, Will Travel.
Shut it down.
Yeah, Gun Smoke.
Yeah. Well, I find myself listening to old-time radio a lot these days. I struggle to get through podcasts.
Yeah.
It just, the shadow knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men.
I've been listening to Inner Sanctum, which is introduced by like a real gay acting vampire character.
Oh, is it really? So
yeah, it's like ooh, the door's creaking, all that crap.
Oh, they might have brought it up before in the past, but I was listening to The Adventures of Superman, I think it's called, which is Superman the radio series. And the first episode is the I've forgotten what the title is, but it basically it's a radio version of the final hours of Krypton and then Superman going to Earth. Mm-hmm. And it is the best representation of the final hours of Krypton I've seen or heard.
Mm-hmm.
Better than the ones in the films.
Sorry, Man of Steel, still the best.
Yeah, okay, I'll send you this episode. It'll just garbage. Garbage.
Yeah, you know that the Superman radio show probably inspired the comic books and future versions of that franchise more than anything, because I think Kryptonite started on the radio show.
But did it have Russell Crowe?
No, sorry.
Yeah, so
I could be wrong, but I think Jimmy Olsen also came from the radio show.
I think you're right. I think I heard that somewhere.
And it was in cooperation with the FBI.
Jimmy Olsen, very important character in Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, right. What, all 2 seconds of him? I feel like they bring it up in the film. What? I thought, is this guy parading around as Jimmy Olsen? Or is this the real Jimmy Olsen? We've got some guy who looks like a Muslim terrorist. It's Jimmy Olsen.
And then he gets killed.
This is... fuck that movie. I'm just getting more angry thinking about it. It's so bad.
Sorry, John. I just had to trigger Stu.
Right.
You got me on my very, very, very strong coffee day.
Yeah.
Upsetting Stuart day. Yeah. But, yes.
Well, that's also like with the Lone Ranger. His origin actually was not on the radio show. It was in the Republic serial that they then ordered both of those serials to be destroyed, like every copy. And Clayton Moore claims that he saw them burning the 35mm prints at the Republic parking lot. Like, jeez. It was ordered by the contract by the creator of the Lone Ranger. But what's funny is the creator of the Lone Ranger basically took what he liked out of the serials and made them part of the radio and future TV show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He liked some things the Republic writers came up with.
Oh, geez.
Now, there are surviving prints of those, but none of them are in great shape.
Hmm. I'll see what the Crimson Ghost on VHS.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's one of the best. It's funny because I was talking with somebody who doesn't like Republic serials. He thinks they're boring and stuff. And I was thinking the same thing. It's like, well, you didn't see them when you were a kid. Because you accepted that storytelling when you were young.
And you know the problem is that they do, John, is they try and watch all 3 hours in one day. You can't.
Yeah, you can't watch one chapter after the other. They're not meant to be seen.
No, they're meant to be seen, what would you say, mate? Three at the time at the most?
And that's even pushing it.
Yeah,
even with the good ones that I love, that's pushing it.
Yeah, probably two would be about the absolute maximum you want to do, and just watch two a day until you get through the whole series.
Yeah, I usually watch like a chapter before I watch a movie or something. Like today I've been watching Flying Discman from Mars, which Olive Films put out on a Blu-ray. Looks great.
Really?
It's not a top serial, though. I think the only reason they released it is because their negative was in great shape, because they've been given access to the Paramount Vault, so they're putting out what's in really good condition, I think. And it looks spectacular, but it's not one of the best, but it's enjoyable enough, and I just watch like one or two chapters a day or every other day.
I'm going to be buying that Marx Brothers box set that's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, doing a 4K scan of it. So, not in 4K, but yeah, they're going to do a 4K restoration of the Universal stuff that Marx Brothers did, and the first two, which were not Universal, which was the Coconuts and, the other one.
Animal Crackers?
Animal Crackers, thank you. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Which are okay, but I mean, they're not as funny as Horse Feathers or Ducks.
No, they're not. When you go back and watch them, they don't hold up, really.
Horse Feathers is really funny.
Yeah. Monkey Business is my favorite, actually. I like Monkey Business.
Yeah, I thought Duck Soup has some good gags that are still ripped off.
Duck Soup, I think, is just 60 minutes of just wall-to-wall hilarity.
Yeah, it's almost like a plot. But I've often argued that Hell's a Poppin' is much funnier than any Marx Brothers movie, but it has no legit release in the U.S., only England.
No, I think it's a bootleg, like a $2 gas station release.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Like, you can watch it. There's a decent print on YouTube that can be watched. Yeah, Hell's a Poppin's fantastic. That you could see where Looney Tunes was stealing jokes and just all sorts of stuff. It's quite mind blowing to see.
Yeah, but what else is making news, boys?
Well, you, John's favorite topic. John requested this topic, actually. The new Metallica track that just dropped today.
I haven't heard it. It's so good. I haven't heard it.
I'm shocked because the first thing when I saw it was like, wow, I wonder if John's heard this.
Yeah, grow my hair long for the
like
release.
John. Let me just do it for you. Yeah. No,
exactly.
No, you know, here's the thing. I listened to it and I was like, this is good. It's fine, meat and potatoes metal. But like my thing with Metallica post Justice is that James learned how to sing.
Yeah, that is a very good point.
And I don't like James Hetfield's singing voice. I mean, you know, I can tolerate it, but they're never going to, like, his voice was much, I liked it more when it was kind of the raw howl that it was on the first four
records.
Yeah, like
Ride the Lightning and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, and then, like, it's like he learned how to sing and he was trying to do that, but with tone, and it just, I don't know. It just sounds like the alt metal that we get today, like, you know, Godsmack or something.
But
he
was never going to hold on to that voice because he was a young kid back then.
You're right. I mean, that's the thing. It's not like I'm not sitting here going, oh, James, you know,
no,
consciously fucked up, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a young kid and he didn't even want to sing. They tried to get John Bush from Armored Saint to sing for them.
Yeah.
Later joined Anthrax, but but they didn't want – James didn't want to sing. He just did it because he kind of had to, and he just wanted to play guitar. But and, you know, I just don't like the sort of voice that he has now, you know.
I like the song quite a bit.
No, it's not bad. I was listening to it, and I was going, this is kind of the sort of – I was sitting there listening to it going, you know, this is the sort of thing Metallica should be doing.
Yeah,
but I'm never going to listen to, you know, I'm never going to see Metallica live and go, when are they going to play, what was the song called? Hardwired?
Hardwired, something for your head or whatever it is.
Yeah, Hardwired. I'm never going to sit there going, oh, are they going to play Hardwired? Now, Death Magnetic had a few songs I like. You know, I like a few of the songs on there. But, you know, it's not an album I'm going to go to listen to Metallica. So,
yeah,
but
same here. Yeah. I'll never hear it.
Do you like even the early stuff, John? Like Kill 'Em All and all that?
I listen to my college roommates' audio cassettes, and it just never grabbed me. No. I like stuff that sounded like rock and roll. I didn't like stuff that just sounded like rock or metal. I liked rock and roll.
Yeah, because when I was in eighth grade, I got Master of Puppets, and it blew my mind. Like, that was like one of the formative albums for me, you know?
I never got into speed metal or any of that stuff. I mean, you know, even Motorhead, it took a while for me to get into
out.
Motorhead.
Get out of here, boys. You know, get out.
Took a couple of years.
Get out.
And it's like, because if you had the Cult's Electric and you had AC/DC, at least it sounded like rock and roll. And yeah, I was into Led Zeppelin, and just
the
metal just seemed
balls
dumb.
On this guy. Jesus Christ.
Metal just seemed dumb, you know? And the fans were dumb. It was always these guys in Iron Maiden shirts that had like pimple faces and never washed their hair and hanging out smoking cigarettes in the seventh grade. And it was just like, come on. These guys ain't going anywhere.
You fucking antagonist. God.
Well, no, it was just like, it was one of those things where when I was growing up, everybody listened to Nirvana and stuff and, you know, alternative stuff. And I was like, God, music's fucking shit, you know? And, and this might speak to my later taste, but like, you know, anything I listened to was like classical or like operatic type stuff.
Like Opeth. No.
Well, I mean, I listen to Opeth now. I just got Still Life on vinyl.
On vinyl, of course you did.
And I got a live vinyl of theirs too that just came out. That's really great. But anyway, I love Opeth. But Opeth's not really that operatic. Like Devin Townsend's way more operatic, but is kind of, you know, I think my love of Devin Townsend comes from my childhood more than it, you know, it's kind of a mix of childhood and metal love. But, you know, it was all like operatic and symphonic stuff because that's what my parents had.
Right.
And when I listened to Metallica, I mean, I listened to Green Day and I thought it was kind of fun and sort of, you know, rebellious. And then, you know, now it looks silly. But when I listened to Metallica, it was like, oh, my God, this is aggressive and crazy. And, you know, I really latched on to it. And I latched on to, and then later I got into like, after Metallica, the next band I really got into was The Damned.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think, you know, that was kind of the formative thing for me. And so Metallica has that nostalgic quality for it. But I've always, anytime I see Metallica working on a new album, I go, I'm not going to love it the way I love the old records. I'm just not going to.
Well, you also have to remember that around the time Metallica was getting big in the late 80s, I was getting into rap.
Yeah.
I was getting into hip hop. Hip hop sounded better and smarter and angrier than anything metal.
But the Metallica stuff I love is, you know, before they were huge, you know, because they got huge, as Donald Trump would say, with the Black Album, which is to me when I was a kid, I liked the Black Album fine. Now I can't listen to it.
Yeah. The wheels fell off for me because as people who heard the old episodes know, I got into Metallica the day after Ride the Lightning dropped. So I had Master of Puppets day one. It was like, okay, I have to have this album because I love Ride the Lightning that much. But I mean, I heard Kill 'Em All maybe about a month, 2 months. And half that album is basically a love letter to Motorhead. No, it really is. Like half the songs in that album could literally be Motorhead songs.
Oh, yeah. Metallica even did a Motorhead covers like.
Yeah. There's four tracks.
Motorheadache, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, you pick a song like Motor Breath, Motorhead song. You listen to Phantom Lord, it can be Motorhead song. You listen to, what's the last one? Metal Militia, Motorhead song. It's not that hard to just stick Lemmy's voice in there and go, yeah, easily. Even if not more. I got to say, I listened to, I've been listening to a lot of Judas Priest lately over the last few days. Just had the
Turbo? Bug.
I listen to Turbo, yeah.
Turbo.
Oh, I hate it. God, it's
which
still...
I do. I own that on vinyl, and I think it's tons of fun, even though it's a pile of shit.
It is, and it's bad.
So what? It has like a super gay butt fucking beat to it.
Oh, that yes, it it's like gay new wave metal.
Greased up gay dudes listening to Turbo Lover and
who listened to that and didn't realize, you know, that was, you know, Rob Halford was pretty, you know, he wasn't out by that point, but if you heard that, he was out.
I knew because I saw him in the videos wearing like the bondage gear. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I saw like Police Academy when they go into the Blue Oyster Bar.
It's the same
and
stuff.
The gays were not wearing the leather. It was the same wardrobe. So it's like I
Cruising. Didn't. Cruising's yeah. full of that.
Yeah, yeah, I hadn't seen Cruising. Cruising was hard to see back then. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't just walk into a store and buy Cruising like you can these days.
No, not at all. Oh, by the way, James Ellroy was really inspired by Cruising.
Of course he was.
One of his crime novels, he has like someone realizing they're the killer, and he got that from Cruising.
I remember that story of Friedkin when I went and saw him after this screening of Sorcerer. He said, someone asked him about Cruising. He goes, there's a much longer cut. He goes, I don't know if I'll ever see the light of day, but he goes, it shocked the hell out of the reps over it. What was it, Paramount who released that?
Yeah.
Was it, you know, Paramount?
Well, yes. Mike Starr told somebody. You know, he plays one of the cops in the films. He said they actually built like a fake latex stomach for fisting scenes. Where you
I heard that there was like fisting.
Yeah. That's what Friedkin said as well. He goes, it was pretty full on. So I don't know if we'll ever see it.
Grease up that arm. Let's listen to some Tool. And
it's not going to happen. The way it is now, it's like a Jallo or something. Because it's all post-synced ADR because of the protesters. So they had to dub the whole film. So it's like watching an Italian giallo.
I'm sick to death of fucking GLAAD and the LGBTQI. You know what? You know what I've done with those people now? I'm just going to call them the alphabet soups. That's all they are. Because I'm sick to the death of fucking letters being added every day. LGBTQI. It's just so now I'm just going to refer to them as the alphabet soups. That's all they are.
They want to be referred to as ZXE or ZE or ZER. XRERZER.
How about I refer to them as fuck off, you cunts? I'm sick to death of you. Seriously sick of them. Look, you want to be gay? Fine. Okay. I don't care. You know? I don't care.
Nobody.
But please stop forcing your agenda and saying we want this and we want to be called. What the fuck is the I? Is it intergender? Is that what it stands for?
Yeah. They're
what the fuck what is intergender? What does it mean?
They're trying to do it. They're trying to act like everything's fluid. Whatever.
Well, and it's I want you to pay a lot of attention to me because my parents didn't.
It's drama queen shit.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like dad didn't pay enough to hug me enough, so I'm gonna make you hug me. You know? And if you don't, I'm gonna sue you. I'm gonna sue my boss and get a ton of money. It's just New York did that pronouns law. It's just a way for people to sue businesses. It's just a way for lawyers.
That's all it is.
It's a way for lawyers. Yeah. Lawyers! That was a big parenthesis. To make.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
The Democrat Party is mostly lawyers. Like most of their politicians, they all have law degrees. Everything's done in favor of the ambulance chasing lawyers.
It's seriously, like when I look at laws, I go. These laws just benefit lawyers, and all politicians are former fucking lawyers.
Yeah, that's exactly what
it
is.
They are, and it's all just ways for fucking lawyers to make more fucking money.
Well, that's all the stupid religious bakery lawsuits. They're
of
just
course.
Oh my god!
They're just it's an extortion scam for lawyers to make money.
I won't bake a cake for two lesbians, so I'm going to sue you. That's
By the way, the best was that. Was that dude who got a cake from Whole Foods and it said,
"Oh yeah,
love wins, fag." But of course, the guy wrote fag on the cake. Whole Foods didn't do it, and they proved it with their security cam footage.
Oh, really?
Like Gavin McGinnis was going, if Whole Foods did do that, that baker is hilarious. Love wins. Fag. it's like, oh god.
There's a wit.
Here's some more good news as well. Did you guys see Gawker's getting shut down?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, guys, let's take a moment to soak in the Hulkster and Peter Thiel's victory against Nick Denton.
Thank you, that's right. Hulkster.
That's right, brother.
That's right, brother. Nick Denton didn't say his prayers or eat his vitamins.
All we can say that Gawker is. All we can say that Gawker is fuck off.
Yeah, no, seriously, like Gawker being gone is it seriously like such a happy day.
Yeah. It is.
they were like the infected diarrhea spewing asshole of the internet.
Yeah.
And I like Breitbart's headline they put under it. Toxic privacy defying blog Gawker to shut down next week. It's not just Gawker shutting down, it's like toxic privacy defying blog.
What was funny was Telemundo buying it. So what are they going to do? They're going to bring back Sabato Gigante on the web.
Who knows? As long as Gawker doesn't come back, I don't give a fat rat's ass, honestly.
No, they won't be missed.
No, no, no. Now to shut down the other leftist blogs. It's, not having a good time with leftists lately. We've had a couple of leftists leave the group because they didn't like my post about Clinton wiping her server like a fat ass. Somebody was not happy about that, but whatever. It happens.
Oh, do we have leftists? They left the group.
Yeah, leftists left the group. Yeah, but you can't please everybody. They do get rather butthurt very quick. A lot of them. Not all of them.
They get triggered. You know.
Well, they don't face an opposing viewpoint ever.
Well,
they've got them safe spaces. You know.
Well, they got there's an echo chamber of the media that they're not challenged on their viewpoints. Where if you're on the other side, your viewpoint is challenged all the time by the media.
Oh God!
So you're ready to defend your point of view, and you're ready to hash it out, and they're not. They just want a monologue where they just preach to you their point of view, and they don't get any response.
No, that's like the ABC over here, the most fucking cancerous piece of shit that ever hit the planet. Horrible channel. It's supposed to be bipartisan because it's paid by taxpayers' dollars. It's a propaganda piece for the left.
Sounds like the Clinton News Network over here.
Yeah. Or PBS. although PBS will actually have the other point of view.
Well,
we have local shows that do present that.
Yeah. There's a cartoonist here named Bill Leake. Very, very smart man. I've seen him interviewed a few times on some conservative shows I watch. And there's been a massive problem here with Aboriginals for years and years with, you know, just lack of parenting and, you know, parents always drunk and stuff like that. He did a cartoon, an animated piece in one of his newspapers that he writes for. And it's got an Aboriginal cop holding a young Aboriginal boy. And the Aboriginal cop says, you'll have to sit down and talk to your son about personal responsibility. And on there as well is a Aboriginal father holding a can of VB. And it says, yeah, righto, what's his name then? So basically it's saying, like, the truth is, these parents don't know their own kids because they're just running riot and all sorts of stuff. He got fucking crucified in the press over here. Labeling a racist and people actually, what was it? The head of the Human Rights Commission was actually encouraging people to complain about it so they could get Bill Leake fired. It was a demonization, like it was a witch hunt of this guy who's just written.
That's what it is now. It's a total witch hunt. Like, you know, anytime somebody says something that can be construed any way, we got to take their job. You know, we gotta ruin their life.
Oh, if you're a conservative, if you're of the left, believe me, they will not come after you at all.
Oh, here's the thing. In America, watch the news. It's crazy how it's just 24/7 anti. Like every time I go to the gym, it's all Trump campaign and meltdown, Trump this, Trump that, and you know, and meanwhile, Clinton poised to make history. Clinton, you know. Clinton's going to, you know, it's like, and it's like, it, or doing damage control on Clinton scandals, you know, it's almost hilarious how these supposedly mainstream news outlets are just totally all in for Hillary.
Yeah. You know? And it's obvious to anybody just looking at her, it's like, oh my god, it's a brain damaged old woman with a diaper.
She's had fucking seizures on camera.
I know.
Like, I mean, and, you know, they're like, a lot of people are posting the catheter bag pictures.
There was something that Tracy Connors had said on her podcast. She said she cannot wait for the debates for Hillary to have the long bathroom break.
Yeah, because she had those long bathroom breaks. That'll happen, you know. It's just so funny because the Clintons have so many friends in the media here, and Trump's very good with manipulating the media. But you know, they're very much against him.
Right. Do you read Scott Adams' blog, the Dilbert guy?
No.
He probably writes the best analysis of the campaigns. And he says that he endorses Clinton because he fears for his life in California if you don't endorse Clinton.
Well, I saw that. I saw them saying he'd be killed if he didn't. You know?
Right, really? But he said things like he'll say that, okay, when Trump makes a joke, like, oh, well, you know, Obama and Hillary created ISIS.
Which is, you know, people say that about Bush all the time.
Exactly. But he says what happens is CNN repeats all day, Obama and Hillary created ISIS. He said he believes it's a manipulative statement that Trump feeds to the press to create a certain impression in the casual viewer.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, he says he puts that out there so the news reports repeat it all day. Yeah. And basically, that's why he's not spending anything on advertising, because he's basically using these media companies to just, like, do his work for him.
He knows if he says something outrageous, or if he says something like that, that it's going to be in the news all the time. They're going
to
talk.
Exactly. And he said he thinks it's all intentional by Trump to kind of sway the voters to him.
Well, I hear Trump.
He's media savvy. That's for sure.
I hear Trump's numbers are dropping daily.
Today's Reuters actually had them, or the Rasmussen poll actually had them within like a point of each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
And you don't see anybody talking about it.
Yeah,
so.
I keep seeing polls that they show Clinton way ahead, and I'll see one where they're like a point of each other. And it's like, it's one of these things where, like, I don't know what to believe, but
yeah, I don't
all
know.
All my friends who read Reason Magazine are convinced that Trump's going to lose. But I'm kind of like, we're in the silly summer. You know, We haven't gotten to the fall where it gets really bloody.
Well, people had pointed out that Dukakis was 17 points ahead of Bush 41 in 1980.
Yeah, and then he was like, I'm going to take a photo of me in a tank.
Yeah, boy, that did it.
I'm gonna wear this helmet that's five sizes too big.
Yeah. They tried to act like it was his response to the rape question in the debate that Bernard Shaw of CNN asked him, and he had such a cold response. And, you know, because he supported furloughs for criminals in prison, weekend furloughs in Massachusetts. And
you gotta go out and get some tail.
Nobody wanted to say it was the friggin' shot of him in the tank where he looked like Snoopy.
No, it was. My dad even said that's why he lost.
Yeah.
He looked like a moron.
He looked like Snoopy in the tank. And then one of the Bush campaigns used that in the ads, and it was over.
My dad said that was when Dukakis lost.
Yeah, totally.
It was when he was like, when he looked like Snoopy going to fight the Red Baron.
Yeah. I don't think he was going to win. I never thought he was going to win anyway. Like, I just didn't feel it at the time. Mm. Like, I could tell Clinton was winning in 92, and I knew he was going to win in 96, but I could tell, like, Dukakis was not.
He didn't win against Bob Dole.
Because Dukakis was a last-minute replacement for Gary Hart. Gary Hart was leading the polls, I think, and then got caught banging that chick on that boat, monkey business.
Yeah. Holy shit.
That Donna Rice chick. And I think I've told this story on the podcast before. I was standing about a foot away from Gary Hart on that Friday before he got on the boat, because our school went to the library. He spoke at the Vicksburg Public Library, and I was standing just a few feet away. I thought he was going to be the next president.
Dr. Drew had her on his podcast.
Guess he's got an article.
Oh, wow.
Up on, yeah. Hey, guess he's got an article up on Breitbart. Ezra Doulis.
He's back?
Yeah, he's just got an article posted today.
Oh, wow.
He's still been working for them.
I know he's been working for them. I just haven't seen anything written by him in a while. Yeah, but I don't go to that. I don't go to that website, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, I don't either. Considering I only go to read Milo articles.
But. Yeah, exactly. Milo's worth reading, and that's about it. I mean, I'll read Ezra's article because I know Ezra, but
Ezra's a friend. You know.
Yeah, but otherwise, there's nobody else there worth reading that I've seen, and it's That website is has always been far less interesting once Andrew died.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And to be honest, this last couple of months he was alive, it was kind of starting to fall. So
I like it.
When it started, it was great, but
oh no, Big Hollywood was it was like the edgelord entertainment blog. Like it had all these Hollywood people and like all these interesting people writing articles, and even people I've never heard of writing fucking great articles, like Leo Grin.
Yeah,
like his articles were amazing.
Yeah, he's a Robert E. Howard guy.
Yeah, he is. He does like the Sumerian.
And then all those, there was a point, and I don't know if it's when Bannon got more in charge or whatever, but there was a point where all those guys just quit writing for him.
Yeah,
just real
and
quick.
And we know some of them. We know some of the guys who quit writing right away.
Yeah, totally. I know a
they
bunch
just
of
had
them.
It, and that was. That was before the lashes took over and all that, so it was like, you know, they gone through a lot of facelifts.
Just real quick as well, is this guy Glenn Beck, is he for real or is he a joke?
Fuck that asshole. I hate
yeah,
him.
Screw him. He can go to hell.
Glenn Beck can die in a fire. He's the worst. Yeah, he is the king of the cucks.
He totally is. He is the cuck lord.
Like he is the king of the cucks, and Ben Shapiro is the prince. You know.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
But yeah, Glenn Beck's hard. I always thought he was goofy. I remember when he started. I first heard him on satellite radio. He hadn't been syndicated in this area yet, and he was going out. He had a libertarian shtick. And he had a lot of comedy writers and actors on there. He'd have like Harry Shearer from The Simpsons.
Well, he had like a shock jock vibe when he started out, right?
Right, right. And he was interviewing like Peter Falk, and obviously Peter Falk had, you know, Alzheimer's, and it was weird.
That's
remember
fucked
hearing
up. Alzheimer's in a glass eye.
I was hearing him back then.
By the way, speaking of Peter Falk, I watched The In-Laws the other day, and the director Arthur
Serpentine Run Serpentine.
Serpentine shell. But the director Arthur Hiller just died. Anyway,
yes, that's
really.
Sorry, John, to interrupt. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, Glenn Beck later kind of. I think they were looking. They're looking for a Limbaugh replacement. And when Rush decides to step down, and I think they thought Glenn Beck was the next Limbaugh, and he got huge and was doing these strangely manipulative things, like just weird stuff and the
crying.
He would do these,
like, emotional things where he would like cry and like.
And it's a radio gimmick. It's just a weird manipulative radio gimmick. It's bizarre.
And he would do these things where he would have like meltdowns on callers where he'd like scream unintelligibly at them. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's like, what is this?
And frankly, I think a lot of it's his work as pro wrestling. So, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
You see when he put a fucking Cheeto powder over his face like Donald Trump? It's like, what is this? What a dickhead.
Him and Rick Wilson have been spooning, I think.
Watching anime in their basement.
Yeah. No, if they did, they'd be more fashy, right?
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, let's steer it off politics. Have you guys picked up any films throughout the week? Yeah, we're probably a lot of people tuned out now from the politics. But
right. Well, let's put a note. If you want to get past the politics, hit this point.
Yeah, make it a chapter. Chapter point.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys picked up any films during the week?
I picked up the. What did I get? I got Microwave Massacre from Arrow.
Oh, of course you did.
Jesus, Mr. Arrow Shelf.
I picked up Buckaroo Banzai.
Okay. I've never seen that. I mean, it's been on DVD, a Blu-ray here for like a tenner, but I mean, I've just never really.
Yeah, it's like kicking off the new Shout Factory Select series.
Okay.
So, yeah. I got that. You know, recently bought some stuff at the Barnes & Noble Blu-ray sale, but that ended. But yeah, that's what I kind of got. But those two are what I got this week.
Yeah, yeah. I picked up.
I got.
Go, John.
Yeah.
No, go on.
No, no. All right. Dr. Butcher, MD. I got the new Severn Blu-ray of that.
Nice.
Spectacular. I love that film. So it's one of my favorite trashy Italian imports that was re-edited into a New York 42nd Street staple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I picked up some stuff at the library to watch, but I haven't got around to watching them yet. Like the latest, like a Van Damme movie where he's reunited with Peter Hyams. It's like, you know, the type of stuff I wouldn't buy, But I'll check out from the library and watch the first 10 minutes and see if it grabs me.
Mm. Oh, I
rely more on streaming these days, you know, more than just going out and buying stuff. I just buy old favorites. Like, I bought Touches In, the Criterion.
Yeah, I got that too.
Yeah, while the
even though I already have the couple. I already have the Masters of Cinema one, but I bought that one.
Oh, good lord!
Why? Yeah, what would you? Yeah, okay.
I can compare them now. I don't know. It was one of those where I was like, I kind of want both. You know,
you
want
to be one of those guys online going, "Oh, well, if you
feel like me
scan
me and Tom Jennings and Joachim Thiessen can sit around and going, oh, let's compare the transfer."
Oh, he blocked me again. Joachim did.
Okay, never mind. Never mind. Well, Joachim and I are still on good terms, so whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
But John, I got a book this week.
Uh huh.
Tarzan: The Complete Joe Kubert Years.
I got that too.
Yeah.
I forgot. I advanced ordered it months ago.
I advanced ordered it. I think you brought it up when we did the show, and so I think while we did the show, I pre-ordered it.
Yeah, I mean it's fantastic stuff. I can't wait to crack it open.
Oh, I'm looking at it now, and the artwork's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, he was. Those are like the best Tarzan comics, and some of Joe Kubert's best stuff.
Hmm. Oh yeah, picked up Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie on Blu-ray.
Oh God,
I like it. What can I do? Oh, I like it.
I just remember I thought Christy Swanson was a lot hotter than the girl on the TV show.
Oh yes, God, yeah. In that film, and also the one she got with AIDS head. What's his name? Charlie Sheen. Oh, the Chase, yeah.
She was hot. And when I was a kid, I liked her in Deadly Friend. I had a huge crush on her. That shitty Wes Craven movie.
The one where the person gets a head knocked off by a basketball. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, it's Chrissy Swanson throwing the basketball. She's like a robot.
Yeah.
Well, I thought she was hot in that. I was surprised her career didn't get bigger. But then, no. It's Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, last thing I knew, she ended up doing thingo. Was it Dancing with the Stars or some shit?
Yeah, I think she left her husband for like the dance part or something.
Yeah.
I think there was some scandal about that. Yeah. But who knows what's real? I don't know if that's an attention headline grabbing work by the agent or whatever.
Yeah, who knows. But so Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I upgraded my Batman Begins HD DVD to Blu-ray. Bought that.
Really?
Well, yeah, because it's starting to die out, the HD DVDs. I still can't find Rio Bravo on Blu-ray. Just like, I'll be damned, I can't find it anywhere.
Weird.
Secondhand stores, nothing. I can't find it anywhere. It's like just impossible.
Well, coincidentally, I finally watched Sands of Iwo Jima last Friday.
All right.
It was one of those cheap old DVDs I found in like a Marshalls, and I decided to start watching a lot of that stuff. And it's funny because everybody always acts like it's some sort of propaganda for joining the Marines, but like half the guys die in it, including John Wayne.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. John Wayne was like Freddie Williamson. He just doesn't die. The hammer don't die in the movies.
Mm. No, I knew some people who couldn't watch his war movies because he tended to die at the end of every one of them.
Hmm. Black folks like John Wayne, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. John.
Older black.
Speaking of it, Hunter, speaking of a John that's dying.
Yeah, I know.
John.
What do you got? What'd you get stung by some bees?
No. Cross
pollinate with a bee, did you?
He's got dryness. The dryness in Colorado.
He's got the HIV.
Do you get? People are just gonna start thinking, what the fuck are they talking about now? Do you get headaches a lot? Living in Colorado. No, John, out in Colorado.
If I go. Oh, funny you mentioned that. If I go to my father-in-law's place that's up in the mountains and we come back down like a few hours later after a visit, I get a massive headache.
I get it as well. Like, if I crash out upstairs in the theater room, if I'm watching a film, I tell them, look, leave me alone. If I crash out there, just leave me alone in the chair. I'll wake up in the morning, you know. I'll wind up with a massive headache because of the altitude because it's just higher up. So
yeah, I change altitudes. Like I'll go to my karate class that's over in Castle Rock, and Castle Rock is a little higher up than where I live. And right. I'll come back, you know, half hour drive, and I'm just completely exhausted. And we may not have even done that much in the class, but just a switch in altitude kills me.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I'll be running. I used to joke about this, but I would be running 5 miles a day. And then I would go over to the Flatirons Mall, which is on a mountain,
yep.
and go up their stairs at a border store when that was around, and I would get winded.
Really?
And yet I was in great cardio condition, but the switch in altitude, going up the stairs, I was gasping for air. I was like, you know.
I'm old.
Yeah, I'm old. Yeah. But I was on a date with this girl in Boulder, and she wanted to go hiking in a park, and Boulder's a different altitude than Denver, where I was living, and I was getting winded on that hike, and I was in great shape, but it's just, you know, different climate.
What do you say we go to Boulder?
I was like, what's with this hiking?
How about where's you let me granola? Hold your boulders and you hold mine?
But, you know, it was just, you know, switching altitude, it does affect you.
Yeah.
Even if you've lived in Denver for like, you know, 16 years like I have, there's an effect. Still hits you.
I do have to say one thing as well. I'm going to go away from the altitude and go to the shittitude of Ben-Hur. I didn't had no idea it had been remade in 3D.
I'm actually going to be seeing it.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow, really? You can good. Fill us in.
Well, I'm not excited, but my dad wants to see it, so I was like, okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're going with your dad.
You know, okay. I was like, if my dad wants to see a movie, I'll go see it with him.
Yeah, sure. Are you going to take... Take somebody along the sausage party as well.
Yeah. You know.
Man, my kids wanted to see sausage party. I said, no.
No, I will not be seeing sausage party.
No, I damn sure won't be seeing it.
You know.
What about Suicide Squad? I've heard it's
I will be seeing it, but I can't. I'm going to see Suicide Squad, but, you know, I'm having a hard time willing myself to see it before the video release because I know it's going to be longer and better.
Seriously?
Yep.
Let's play the video games. Play Batman Arkham Asylum. That's going to be way better than what Suicide Squad
I will say the best Batman thing ever is Batman Arkham Asylum.
That's awesome. it's an awesome game.
It's the best depiction of Batman ever. You know?
Yeah. Well, the it's funny because I have no interest in seeing Suicide Squad because last week I watched Avengers Age of Ultron.
And then
I watched Fantastic Four and the new one, the new Fox, you know, let's keep the rights for their tech.
It's got to be the altitude fucking with your head.
It was fucking brutal watching both of those.
Which one was worse?
Oh, God. Fantastic Four, I guess, was technically worse because just nothing happens in it.
Right.
I mean, it takes forever for that thing to get going. And Age of Ultron was pretty bad, though, because it's just that terrible sitcom-y dialogue. And,
yeah, it doesn't feel like anything.
And the action is so generic. The CGI stuff is... The funny thing was, my son was in the house when I was watching Age of Ultron. He was so bored with it. Like, and he wasn't really watching it, but he was so bored, and there's the Hulk smashing around, but they made the Hulk boring. And he was so bored, he was like, can we watch Ultra 7? Can you put an Ultra 7 episode on? So it's like he'd rather watch an old Japanese TV show than this new thing because they've just made this stuff so boring.
Yeah.
There's no thrill when the Hulk shows up. The Hulk should be exciting every time he appears. He's not. They've just made it, oh, there's the Hulk.
It was just terrible. Go back to our Avengers Age of Ultron, whatever you called it. I don't know, I can't remember. It was just stupid. I just can't. I don't know what they were thinking when they made it.
Stewart was actually yelling in the theater.
Was I? What did I say?
You were like, what was it? They said something about Thor, like, being so. And you go, yeah, because he's Australian.
Oh, did I?
And when it was over, you were like, that sucked. You were like yelling at the theater.
Well, another thing is it's like way too soon for them to have an internalized villain like Ultron.
Yeah.
They should have more foreign threats. They can't have threats that they created themselves.
And then they shouldn't exist. And then Tony creates this threat and then he learns nothing from it.
Exactly.
I want to do the same thing again. Oh, I'll get it right this time. And then he makes Image or whatever the fuck his name is.
I'd still say Iron Man 3 is worse.
It is. I would agree with you.
Those absolute pits.
I hated that. I hate them both. But and actually, Iron Man 3 is more painful because it says directed by Shane Black.
Yeah.
Really.
And the his new movie, the Nice Guys, is fucking great.
Yeah, I love that movie, but it's like, I hope Doc Savage is great.
But here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
When you look at who directs a Marvel movie, you can't get too excited because they are Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And I have friends who say, well, Shane Black's the one who pitched it, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Marvel has a specific stamp, a specific feel that they all feel like. Yeah, you can feel a little bit of James Gunniness and Guardians of the Galaxy. You can feel a little bit of this, that, here, personality and the other. But ultimately, they all look like the same thing.
They are micromanaged by Avi Arad.
Well, what's his name? Kevin Feige.
Kevin Feige. I've heard it pronounced different ways.
I've heard it, but yeah, I don't know what it's pronounced like. But
basically, he and the second unit director, Spyro Rozakis, are the real directors of all the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And Spyro Rozakis has been around since like Maniac Cop. You know, but those are the real directors. It's not the Russo brothers. It's not Joss Whedon or whoever. It's not
Jon Favreau or...
No, not at all. Favreau kind of created their style with the first
movie. He did. Like, he was like the director of the pilot episode of the TV show.
Exactly. And that became the Bible for how everything...
And really, the director of the pilot episode of the TV show, they're just responsible for kind of creating a little feel and a little this and that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are the type of angles you're going to shoot it with. This is how you're going to do it. And it's just, it's such, I also feel like they're just made for China. They're not made for us.
China.
They are.
China. They're made for China.
They're made for China. It's like.
Speaking of that, I want to see that documentary about the woman in China, the ex-wrestler who passed away.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was one.
No, it was actually, I was following her on Twitter up until her death, and you know, she was just really, really odd. You know, she was posted. There was a thing about Triple H, whatever the guy's real name is, the wrestler. I don't know,
or something.
Jean Paul Levesque.
I just remember my friends in high school called me Triple H because my name was Hunter. So my name is Hunter. So
yeah. Anyway, and he said about her not getting into the WWE Hall of Fame because of her doing the, you know, a couple of adult films and blah, blah, blah. And she went on this sort of YouTube... Well, she went on this YouTube rant and she was really drunk and I'm guessing drugged up and...
Yeah, she was pilled to the gills.
You saw it, yeah. She was really off her face. And then she seemed to get herself back on track, moving over to Japan for a couple of years and doing teaching or something along that way. And then there was a... Someone started making a documentary about her and her comeback. And she did, what's really creepy is she did post a couple of photos of her at her father's grave, which she had a sort of on-off relationship, like a rocky relationship with him. And there's pics of her just like inconsolable, you know, in tears and everything at his grave. And then like a week later, she's dead. Oh man, this is weird. So apparently the filmmaker is going to continue on with the documentary about her. But obviously, going to be the aftermath, you know, of her death. So, be interesting to see. But might be easy to watch because I've always sort of had a soft spot for her. I thought she was a really, really troubled woman who just I think her problems came from bad choice of men.
Bad choice of men, and also I think she might have had the wrong mind for the business.
Bad choice of drugs too.
I don't think you can get into wrestling and be that messed up in the head and have a lot of unresolved issues. And I think she had a lot of problems. Because, I mean, they got rid of her when she was very uncooperative and didn't want to sell for Lita, who they were building up as the next big women's champ and stuff. She was becoming a bit of a bitch, and they basically just got rid of her. Mm-hmm. And she could not handle the business after that. You know, she goes over to New Japan and is basically a joke and because she can't wrestle. She couldn't work. She was effective as, like, the bodybuilding bodyguard, you know, standing by ringside to kind of draw audience heat that would distract the ref or whatever. But she wasn't, once you got her in the ring, she was exposed. She was terrible. You know, there's not much athleticism there. You know, she can't work a match, basically. There's a skill to it. That's why you can't just stick any bodybuilder in trunks in the ring and expect them to wrestle good. You know, there's a skill to that. It's an art form.
Yeah.
Which she wasn't terribly good at. You know, it was one of those things where, like, I think Jericho had hit her with a couple of potato shots, probably by accident, and she was whining backstage. And it's like, well, if you want to wrestle men and you insist on it, you're gonna take some hits. You know, they're gonna throw a punch too close. That's just the way it is. So, you know.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But yeah, so I thought that was quite sad. So I am interested to see how that comes about. If it ever does actually come out, there's another thing. It may just get shelved. There may be no interest. It's like, well, you know, your focus point's dead. So,
well, not only that, but wrestling is just not as popular as it used to be as a sort of side media thing outside of the WWE.
Hmm.
It's just not there. I don't see a big following for that stuff like it was 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. Oh, anything else you guys want to bring up, or pretty much?
I think let's call it a night, guys. Yeah. Got to get up in the morning, go to work, starting up the school year.
Yeah, I got to hit the work in a couple of hours. Actually,
I like good stuff.
I have the day off. I have to take my kid to the kids matinee at the Alamo to see the Karate Kid.
Ah,
which one? So. The LaRusso or the?
The original, the one.
He's not taking him to see the Will Smith's kid in a dress.
Nah, not at all. No, we're going to see the real one. So I haven't seen it in decades.
Remember, you're the best around, and nothing's gonna ever bring you down.
It'll be interesting how it comes off watching it now. Look, like, because I liked it in '84 or whatever.
Yeah.
But,
look. I saw it about 3 years back. Don't over scrutinize it. Just go in there. It's going to have a cheese factor on the scale of 10, ranked about 10 out of 10. But it's some harmless fun, you know.
That's why you want to watch it.
I could feel weird like crushing on Elizabeth Shue. Was she of age?
Elizabeth Shue is, I mean, I not in Karate Kid, but she is like, she's one of my, so attractive. I think she is just a babe,
I've always liked her. But and I mean, Pat Morita, I remember being fantastic in that movie.
He's a babe too. No, I'm kidding.
But actually, some actual good acting, which was
directed by Rocky director John Giovildsen.
Yeah,
and got Martin Cove as well.
Right, Grease. So
on the song, that song "You're the Best Around," it was meant for Rocky too.
Was it?
Yeah, it was because.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious because
I did not know that.
Adam Carolla interviewed the guy who sang it, and he said that the song was written for Rocky II because the first line is "History repeats itself," mm-hmm. and he said, but they didn't want to use the song, so Avildsen used it in Karate Kid. And Carolla goes, yeah, but the lyrics, history repeats itself, and it's Karate Kid. What? So it doesn't make any sense, can't you, Jay? You
know, because Rocky 2 is a disco soundtrack.
Yeah. So that song was originally written for Rocky 2. Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
There you go.
And I remember when this, it was South Park that kind of brought it back.
South Park?
There was a Little League episode where they played that, their final baseball game.
It became like a meme on "You're the Man Now, Dog." Like that and "Tarzan Boy" by Baltimora.
If you watch Karate Kid and you enjoy it, don't get too excited about parts two, and especially don't even bother with three a late 20s Ralph Macchio trying to save a bonsai plant. Don't bother. It's
John. What about Stu? What about the next Karate Kid with Hilary Swank?
Yeah, meant to see it.
filmed in Garrow's backyard.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's filmed in around Cambridge, I think, and some of the towns bordering Cambridge.
In one of the background shots, you can see an Armenian guy with a top hat going, "This film shit."
But
I'm gonna take this film on a long walk.
But I think he told me that he was telling me about them filming it there, like back when they were shooting it. I didn't even know it was being made because didn't have the internet. You didn't always know these things were being produced.
You didn't go to Ain't It Cool News every day?
No, we didn't have a website. It had to be mentioned in Premiere Magazine or something like Starlog or Fangoria. That was the only way to find, or Strikos Magazine Preview between all the ads for Softcore Smut.
Oh, nice.
That's how you would find out about stuff in production.
Oh, speaking of films that suck. Did you guys end up watching that trailer for the Obama film coming out?
No, I didn't watch the trailer.
What trailer? What? Huh?
All right. I put it up in the Facebook page. You must have missed it. There's a new film about the first date between Michelle and Barack Obama. It's the most saccharine left-wing shit you'll ever see.
That's everything out of Hollywood these days.
No, not like this. This
if it doesn't have Barack Obama having gay sex in bathhouses, it's not accurate.
Oh, it won't. No, it won't have Michelle Obama with her cock hanging out.
Oh God!
It's Garrow on this show.
Where's Garrow?
It's Garrow writing this.
Hey, there's photographic evidence out there.
We're just shit posting now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
you gotta put a warning on the description. Shit posting in the last 5 minutes of the
shit
show.
Shit posting in the last 5 minutes.
God, Stuart goes all shit lord.
Stuart goes full shit lord.
Actually, my new handle, Shitlord. That's a good name. Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's call it a day. And I don't know what we've got planned next week. We may have our guest that was meant to be on this week.
That's the plan right now.
Hopefully that eventuates. But, yeah. So, all right. Well, let's sign off, boys.
All right, guys. Visit our website, midnightmoviecowboys.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. And, because that's a way to help the show. And I will say adios.
And I'll say Magadog.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast. To leave feedback and show suggestions, email us at midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like our Midnight Movie Cowboys show page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and feel free to leave us a review. Listen to us on Stitcher.com or the Stitcher Radio app. Want to help the show out? Visit MidnightMovieCowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate link. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Our personal links are on the right side of our homepage. See y'all next time.
Fifteen.